Okay, guys. So let me paint you a picture of what is going on right now. First of all, I have 100 kids in my house. And when I say 100, I mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Because now today is the last day of school for elementary and high school, and it has already been the last day of school for charter school, and I have 5 kids and they go to different schools. And so thus we begin the summer of Nicole's podcast, which is going to be really not as organized as my podcast usually is, and God knows how I'm going to do it. But you know what, you guys, we're in it together. We're going to do it. The reason I'm painting that picture for you is because not only is it 7 o'clock in the morning when I'm recording this, there is unfolded laundry all over my floor, and 2 children who are 11 are attempting by themselves to make pancakes and waffles before they go to their last day of school. It might not be as quiet in the background, and my mind might not be as organized, and also I'm getting over a cold. And so, you know, listen, when you have 5 kids and they are your priority, life can be a little hectic in the summer. Parents out there, raise your hand if you hear me, if you feel me, sisters and brothers. But it's okay. I can live with peace within the chaos, not all the time, but a lot of the time. And that's why I thought it would be a really good topic today to talk about the philosophy of acceptance. Because I take every spare minute I have and I read your conversations on my JournalSpeak page. So for those of you who don't know about my page, I have a closed group on Facebook called JournalSpeak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. Please, if you are interested in finding some support and some community around this work, go search it up on Facebook and ask to join. It's a closed group, so I would have to approve you, and then you can join the conversation. And so I go there a lot, and I read what you guys are writing. I read your frustrations and your triumphs. And one of the frustrations that is over and over and over again, the one that's repeated a lot, is it goes something like this. Nicole, or community, I was suffering for so much time, suffering with my symptoms, whatever they may be. And then I found this work. Either I found Dr. Sarno, or I found Nicole on YouTube, or I found the Curable app, which led me here, or what have you. However people found my work. And they say, and so I had this like great epiphany that I, you know, might not have to have my symptoms. And I started the work and I saw a huge reduction in my symptoms. And, you know, I see that things are moving. But now I have a question. Why am I not better? Oh, this is so hard. You know, this life thing happened and now I'm struggling and I thought I was fine and now I have a horrible relapse or I have a flare up of symptoms. And guys, this is all like so normal. It's so normal because we have been brainwashed in a society that teaches us we are not okay if we can't be well. We're in a society where we're taught, take this pill and you'll feel better. Ask your doctor and you'll feel better. You know, I was watching TV yesterday and I happened to let a commercial run instead of fast forwarding through it on my DVR, which you guys all know. I'm an avid DVRer because I can't freaking stand the commercials. And it was like this very, very specific, deep cancer medication that somebody was supposed to ask their doctor about. And all I'm thinking is, isn't it the doctor's job to see you, to assess you, and then to say, you know what? Maybe you need this specific, very, very toxic, but important to cure you cancer medication. I don't see it as the patient's responsibility to come in and say, hey, doctor, I know I'm dealing with stage 4 cancer. How about this drug? I mean, it just seems so, it seems really, really inappropriate to do that to the patient. But I think it creates in us this expectation that we are responsible for telling our medical practitioners what we need to heal in a pill, And then it's our responsibility to be better. And I think we don't understand. We've gotten away from the very natural human path of life, which is, and I know Buddhism says that life is suffering. And I don't think that that's a negative thing. I don't think life is suffering. I think life is humanity. Life is ups and downs. Life is our trip in those concentric circles up the mountain. And life is not a straight line. And it's not abnormal for you to feel better from knowing about this work and then feel like it's hard, because life is hard. And, you know, I always talk about the three categories that inform our journal speak practice: childhood, daily life, and personality. All those three things are alive in us every single day, every minute of our human existence until we transition to whatever's next. And so, you know, for you to feel that your journey is frustrating for you because now you're in pain today, or you're having, you know, I hear you. First of all, let's normalize it. I totally hear you. There's no shame in your frustration. I used to feel that way back before I understood that the philosophy of acceptance and the philosophy of knowing that the, not the new normal, but the always normal, and now our new normal, must be that sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, and they're literally interchangeable. And on some days, you're going to feel pain. And if you don't have to see that pain as something negative, if you can just see it as an expression of your feelings, you don't have to like it. I don't like it when I'm having a sad day, or when something stressful is going on and I feel scared all day, or when I'm just really angry at someone and it keeps cropping up, even though I keep trying to calm it down, it keeps cropping up and I'm like, God damn it. Why the hell did they do that? You know, that's so inconvenient for me because now I have to feel this feeling. Yeah, I know, I feel that. But you know what, guys? It's not bad. It's not a failure. It's not something you've done wrong, and it's not something you need to fix. You know, my friend Robin always says that her friend Jeff says, because let's do that and tell the truth, that feelings need to be, oh Jesus, now I'm going to try to quote it and I don't even know it. Feelings need to be, yes, I got it. Feelings need to be held, not healed. That's what Jeff Foster says. And you know, I think there's such wisdom in that, because we think that our feelings need to be wrapped up in a nice package and sent on their way. And guess what? That philosophy will keep us in some sort of pain chronically forever, because what we really just need to do is practice acceptance and ride on the river of our feelings, of our lives. And like, even as I'm saying this to you right now, guys, now listen. I realize I'm a little bit sick, because when you have a cold, you're sort of a little bit out of it. So it changes your ability to be present. I actually think sometimes when I have a cold, I'm more present, oddly, because I don't have the energy to be in 100 different directions like I usually am. So I know I have a little bit of a cold. I know it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I know I'm really tired because we had fifth grade graduation preceded by dance recital, which is a huge deal in my house, because two of my daughters dance very seriously, preceded by eighth grade graduation for two kids, and the senior and the junior are in finals. So I am like sort of half a human being. But I will say that if you understand the concept of riding the river of your life, of practicing acceptance, which it's easy for me to practice it right now, not always, it's not always easy, you are going to give yourself a gift that is so enormous. It will open up a world for you bigger than even the day you found out about journal speak. The peace that can flow over you when you realize you are not a problem to be fixed. You are not something that went awry and now you have to get it back on track and you better hurry up. You are a human being who is living your life exactly as you should be. And so, okay, you're saying, but my life is painful. I don't want to be in pain. And I'm like, yeah, man, I totally get that. You don't want to be in pain, and you don't need to be in pain. But the only way to do that is to do the work. Well, first believe, all right? Believe. This can help you. I don't need to know you personally to know that this can help you. I have done this over and over and over again for years with people from all different walks of life, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all ethnic and racial backgrounds, all parts of the world, men and women. And I will tell you, we all heal the same, because when we understand that this work is the answer, which it is, and we breathe and we say, okay, resistance, I know that you're trying to protect me. I know that my nervous system and my brain view my repressed emotions as a greater predator than my physical pain. So it's choosing my physical pain. I get it, but I believe this can help me. And then you do the work as I instruct. And if anybody out there is listening and they don't know how to do the work, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't be scared. There's a lot of ways to learn how to do the work. I have a YouTube channel called The Cure for Chronic Pain. My brand is The Cure for Chronic Pain. So if you ever Google that, you're going to get all my stuff. The YouTube channel, this podcast, my website, which is thecureforchronicpain.com, has a lot of info on it. And then, of course, if anybody wants to work with me personally, come to the Omega Institute this summer. If you're curious about what Omega is, I get a lot of questions. What is Omega? It's just the name of a retreat center that I'm teaching at this summer, July 21st through the 26th. You can go onto my website, onto the resources page, and it's the first link you'll see. Or you could go to eomega.org and search my name, Nicole Sachs, that's who I am, and you'll find it. And the Omega Institute is an amazing place to spend time. It's a great place to spend the week. I cannot wait to be there with you guys. We have a nice group forming, not only nice in size, but nice in personalities. You guys are writing me, and you're all so amazing. You're so lovely. You're like, I'm coming to Omega. I'm so excited. And then I see you talking to each other on my Journal Speak page about who's coming and doing some ride sharing and supporting one another. I've got people flying in from Canada, from Ireland, from Scandinavia, from Great Britain. I think somebody even might be coming from Hong Kong. She wrote me and she never confirmed. Are you coming? And all over America. And guys, it's going to be just magical. So if you want to work with me directly, it's going to be just like this. It's going to be me talking to you from my heart. It's going to be me teaching you from my vast, rich experience. And it's going to be the amazing and talented guest instructors that I'm bringing who are coming from all different modalities, some spiritual, some psychological, some emotional, and some motivational, like Ruthie Lindsay, who's going to bring her story of healing and recovery, which is breathtaking, yoga and Ayurvedic healing. And I think it's going to transform your life. I'm really serious. I think that there's no shot you're going to be the same person as when you walked in a million ways that are better. And one of the things I'm really going to talk about there is what I'm talking about today, which is acceptance. I know that the word acceptance can have a negative connotation, because acceptance can be seen by some people, and has been by me definitely, by the way, so I do not judge. Acceptance can be seen as a weakness, sort of like vulnerability, you know, which we all have learned from Brené Brown is not a weakness. It's our deepest strength is in our vulnerability and our sharing with others. But acceptance can be seen like giving up. If I accept the situation, it means I'm not trying to fix it anymore. And what I'm saying to you is, maybe that's true. Maybe you're not trying to fix it anymore, because maybe fixing it has been the problem all along. And maybe the whole point is to love it and to hold it. Our emotions want to be held, not healed. You know, maybe the whole point of this pain and the message it carries to us is that we are not a problem to be fixed. We are a being to be accepted and held. And in that acceptance and holding, our nervous system and our brain, which have been sustaining a fight or flight reaction for years, based on the fact that the messages they are receiving are those of danger and fear and panic, and that something needs to be altered in order for you to survive. Maybe once that happens, once that acceptance is practiced, and once we understand that we can release from fight or flight to rest and repair, the pain signals just stop firing. And I'm saying maybe because I'm saying that for you, but for me, I know it's definitely. It's definitely, guys. It's definitely. I have been doing this work for so long, and I have witnessed the kind of stunning transformations that I didn't think I would ever see in my lifetime. I didn't ever know I was going to do this work. You know, I grew up a kid who I was always one beat behind the music because we moved a lot and I was alone a lot. I'm an only child with parents that were very sort of intellectual. They weren't withdrawn from me, but they were not like kid kind of parents. You know, we didn't have a playroom. It was sort of brainy and quiet in my house. And I moved a lot. I went to a new school every couple of years, sometimes after 1 year. And so I didn't have a grand plan. I didn't have anything I wanted to be when I grew up. Actually, it's ironic and funny. Well, it's not ironic. I don't know what it is. I decided when I was really little, and some of you have heard me say this, that the only thing I wanted to be was a mom. I was an only child, and I didn't have a lot of action going around, and I loved to go to my friends' houses that had tons of siblings where it was crazy and hectic. And, you know, one of my favorite stories that I tell my friend Lindsay is that she had two siblings, so it was three kids, and her little sister, Jillian, who I adore, had special needs, and so she was kind of a trip. She said funny things, and she was kind of wild, and then they had these two enormous German short hair pointers. They were so big, and they were so misbehaved, and so when you went to her house, there was her and her brother and Jill was crazy, wild, running around always. And then there are these two enormous dogs, and they would literally step onto the kitchen table. They would be on the benches that would lead up to the kitchen table. And sometimes if you were in the kitchen, you turn around, there might be an enormous, like 100-pound dog standing on the kitchen table. And, you know, some of you out there are going to cringe and be like, that sounds like a nightmare. And as a parent, I'm going to tell you, I would die, and I would not want that in my house. But as a kid who was just thirsting for that warm chaos of family love and togetherness and sort of just the hilarity of what it is to be a family, I loved going to Lindsay's. It was so fun for me. And so when I was a little kid and growing up, I did all the right things, okay? So I did all the school, and I went to college, and I got my undergraduate degree in psychology, and I did very well in school. I was always a good student. I took a lot of pride in my work, but I didn't have a lot of aspirations for what I was going to be. In fact, to be really honest with you, I was so intent on having family that the only reason I got my psychology degree in the first place is I figured if one day I wanted to go back to work, which I wasn't even sure if I would, and I wanted to be a therapist, what was good about a therapist is I could make my own schedule because I wanted to be there for my kids when they got off the bus. I'm not even kidding. I was thinking this at the age of 16. So that happened. And obviously my life is a lot more complicated than a simple story, but I did have three biological children, despite the fact that when I was 19, because of my spinal condition, I was told I would never have children. And I did go back. I got my master's degree and I did all my clinical hours and I sat for all the big tests and I became licensed as a therapist in private practice. And even then, I did not know that I was going to go into chronic pain work. I figured I'd do general practice. And I was working with Dr. Sarno in New York, so I figured I would start to incorporate this into my practice. But like, I didn't know that this was going to be my life. And then it happened to me, and it happened with me, and for me, and by me. And I've been able to have the privilege to bear witness to the kind of transformations that you would think if they wrote it in a movie, you wouldn't believe it. You'd say this movie is stupid because it's impossible because it could never happen. How could this girl who is laying on her couch suicidal with such pain that there's nothing they can do after a year of giving her every medication, every medical treatment, every invasive procedure, how could she be a fully functional human being, pain-free, living her dreams? How is that possible? Because she just did some emotional work? Because she just understood how painful her parents' divorce was and her eating disorder and how much fear she had lived in for her whole childhood? That's the reason that she's in no pain anymore and living a completely successful life? Like, I would be like, that's bullshit. I don't believe you. But this is the thing. This is why my work is so important, because I need to explain this to you guys. It's the capital T truth. This can be the truth for you. This is the truth for you when you do this work with belief and patience and kindness for yourself, like I always teach you. It's so important. So, you know, acceptance is a huge piece of this. So, I mean, it's almost like I'm tempted to take my three facets of my work and add a fourth. I'm not doing it officially because obviously we'd need to roll out the red carpet to add a fourth facet to the work after all this stuff I say. But it's really important. It's really important because let's say you're a person. Let's say this is you. This is nobody specific, but this feels like the energy I feel a lot on my Facebook page. And you're a person that had formerly been completely in the medical model brain. Your problem is physical. Let's pick something you have. Let's pick something like you have carpal tunnel syndrome. I'm picking this because I had a guy write on my page last week that he hears about migraines and fibromyalgia and back, neck, shoulder, knee, hip pain, blah, 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 irritable bowel. He never hears about carpal tunnel, so he's scared this doesn't apply to him. So, sir, we're going to talk about carpal tunnel because it is exactly the same as all of these other things I just mentioned. It heals exactly the same with my work. So you have carpal tunnel. You've gone through all the regimen that doctors have recommended. Perhaps you've had a surgery, and maybe the surgery offered you a brief respite. Maybe you didn't have the pain for a few months, but now it's back. Or now it's back in the other hand, or now it's back and it's running up your arm or down your fingers, or you have numbness. You know, this is all normal. I've all seen it all. Let's say that's you. And you are, you know, taking a deep dive into the interwebs and you find my work. And then you immerse yourself in my YouTube videos and you start listening to this podcast and you order my book online. Okay. And so here you sit. And now you've joined the Journal Speak page and you're like, oh my God, this is possible for me. But, you know, is it? And does this apply to me? And you're asking all the right questions and you're exactly where you need to be. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say about that. Here's where acceptance is really important, because the nervous system sees your desperate need to be well as the same input as fear. And if you think about that, it makes tremendous sense. Fear is a feeling that gives a certain message to your nervous system. And the message it gives is we need protection. A desperate desire to be well gives your nervous system the same input, the same signal. Now, because of that, if you start with all that energy I just talked about with our fictitious guy who's done all that stuff and now he's set that he's going to do this. He's going to heal himself. He's going to do it. And boy, does he want to be well, because God is right now is everything rushing in about how hard it has been for him and how limited he's been and how much sacrifice he's had to make, because in his work and in his family and in his ability to contribute to society has been so stifled because of his pain. And now he's going to be better. Can you imagine that energy signal to your nervous system? It's almost like your nervous system's going to read that as a trauma or as a tragedy, because everything feels so urgent all of a sudden. So what if that same guy practiced a tremendous amount of acceptance? Wow, I'm right where I need to be right now. Obviously, everything that's happened to me has brought me here, and now I have an opportunity to do this work, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because this work is hard. Nicole warned me. This is a lifetime of childhood and daily life and personality that I'm going to have to be inviting into my consciousness, and it's not easy. But guess what? I am going to be well. Raise your hands to the air. Raise your hands to the sky. Raise your face to the sun, to the wind. Let it blow onto your face. You are going to be fine. However, you are going to have to work hard, and on every day it's not going to feel that way, and that's okay. You can say, I accept it. I accept that I am right where I need to be right now, that I know that if I do this work, I'm going to keep getting better and better. And even though recovery is not a straight line, my life is a journey of concentric circles up the mountain. And every time I get to the same crazy, annoying thing that has bothered me in the past, I will be able to glance down at my former self, who was a rung lower on the mountain, and say, but I'm better than when I was. I'm better than then. You know, I mean, that is a gift, guys. That is everything. Because this is just our human life. And trust me, I am talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you guys. I want everything to be fine. I want to put a bow on it. I want to just be able to be free of all emotional and physical pain. But that's just not what happens. And, you know, if we have been somewhat deluded into thinking that that's the way life is, today's the day that needs to change. Today is your day, okay? Today, everything can change because your perception is your reality. And if you decide that you're going to think about this differently, you can start to think about this differently. Acceptance is the answer to all your problems today. You are right where you need to be. You are beautiful. You are able. You have purpose. And you can do this. And I believe in you. So I think that's enough out of me for today. I love you guys for listening. I love you guys for writing to me and telling me what you think of this podcast. And I did decide that in the future, as I go forward, I think it's a really nice thing. I get these incredible emails and I'm really disorganized about it. And I don't have any sort of a method of cataloging them, which that's my bad. And I have to start doing. But what I would love for you guys to do is, if this podcast is meaningful to you and if you are getting something out of it, write to me. The email to write to me is thecureforchronicpain@gmail.com. Please write to me and tell me, and I'm going to start giving shout outs on air, because I really think that the best way to do this is in community and feeling like you are supported by one another. So if you have a revelation, an awakening, a thought, an inspiration, and if you want to share that, please do write to me at thecureforchronicpain@gmail.com, and I will be sharing some of those on air. If you don't want your name mentioned, please indicate that. And if you do, I would just mention your first name, not your last. And also, if you guys are enjoying this podcast, it would be a great favor for me if you went over to iTunes and gave it a review. I mean, it would be nice if you gave it a 5-star review, but I'm not telling you what to do. I just, I know that it really helps in iTunes to get some attention to the podcast if it has a lot of reviews and ratings. And if you do feel something personal, you can even write an actual written review to say how you feel about the podcast. I would really appreciate that. And that's it for now. So listen, happy beginning of summer. Happy Friday. Happy podcast day. Happy any day you are listening to this. I'm with you. I'm thinking about you. I love you. And I know you can do this. So till next time, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. See you next week. Bye-bye.